Hello there, and thanks for joining me in the podcast today. Mass shootings. That's my topic. Schools have been the primary location, or at least one of the primary locations, for mass shootings in the last 5 years. Perhaps more. 6, 7, 8. But we also find mass shootings in shopping centers and malls and certain kind of business centers and areas of a community. So mass shootings are part of our culture today. They have become much more frequent than anybody would ever want. And we know less about mass shootings today than we knew 5 years ago. We've studied it from a different perspective. Mass shootings occur, and then in comes the troops to study why somebody did something and who did it. It's all too late. It's after the fact. We do not take a preventative approach in our mass shooting understanding. We take a response approach. That is, after the fact, we respond to a mass shooting and try to figure it out. Way too late and way too short, and not a very promising way to study something. The most accurate and best way to study something is preventative, is being proactive in trying to understand why a particular event takes place, such as a mass shooting. Now, Mr. Fulman is a national affairs editor. And he's written a book recently that came to my attention and might be important for you to take a look at as well. Mr. Fulton, F-O-L-L-M-A-N. His book is entitled Trigger Points, Inside the Mission to Stop Mass Shootings in America. And it was published by Day Street Books, which is part of the HarperCollins Corporation. Now, Mr. Fulman has studied mass shootings, and particularly school mass shootings, for many, many years. This has been a particular obsession for him and an area of concentration of studies as a editor and as a columnist. So what does he have to say? What's his conclusions? What's his advice for us as a country in dealing with this so that we don't deal with the idea of teaching kids how to hide in a classroom or how to hide behind desks and how to line up in the hallway or things like that, which is not going to work at all. You know, that's defensive. That's trying to say, okay, a mass shooter is here, now go and hide. And that isn't going to be very helpful. We want to get ahead of the game. We want to see the specialized training that leaders can have and be able to advance their thinking and think ahead so that we can prevent such kind of mass shootings. So it's called threat shootings, threat preparation, if you will. That is, beforehand, preventative. Now, Mr. Fulman has come up with some warning signs that he says are critical to mass shooters, whether it be in a school situation or in a work situation. So he comes up with about 8 different warning signs that we need to take a look at. I'm going to tick them off and just kind of help you understand where he's coming from and kind of a different approach to this whole issue of mass shootings. First of all, he talks about entrenched grievances. Mass shooters are often known for having been mistreated in some way or feel they've been a victim of some kind of injustice. And they kind of just dwell on that, stew on it over time. Whether it's true or not true is not the point. They believe it to be true. And then they stew on that. And before you know it, they believe the whole story that they've come up with, even if it's not true, but they believe it to be true. And it's a likely sign that shooting could come about, might follow. So we call that entrenched grievances. The grievance you have towards somebody and you entrench it within your soul, within your heart, within your mind, within your thought patterns, and you stew on it and stew on it. Anybody doing that, that's a warning sign. Check them out. Be careful. But that's a warning sign. Here's another one. Threatening messages. Signs of intent. We call that kind of leakage, if you will. And that comes about in talk. It comes about in writing. It comes about online postings and that kind of thing, where people will make a statement, almost like a threat or targeting somebody. And those threatening messages can motivate and can stimulate and can encourage somebody to not only think more about it, but start the process of planning a mass shooting. Those two things together are very critical. Here's another factor that needs to be taken into consideration in a preventative way. Consider the acts of domestic violence that have been occurring over time or that have occurred over time. One's capacity to do harm, one's capacity to create a risk situation for himself and for others. We call that the patterns of aggression. That is, various kinds of acts of domestic violence. Now, it might not be with a gun. It might be a threat. It might be verbal. It might be gestures. It might be fighting. It might be just pushing people around, just physically aggressive. Those are patterns of aggression to be taken into account. So you look at the entrenched grievances, you look at threatening messages, and you look at the possibility of a pattern of aggression starting to show itself. Now here's another one. Here's another pattern. It's called stalking. Stalking behavior. Like a fixation on somebody. It's a fixation on some situation or on a particular person. And talk about that and talk about that. These are the red flags. We see that in the political assassinations. We see that in celebrity situations where people stalk celebrities. I've seen patients that have done that. And they give very clear indications of stalking behavior. And when you see stalking behavior, you need to take action. Because that could be the pathway into an actual act of aggression. Here's a fifth one, emulation. We call that the copycat. We emulate people who have carried out such an act of aggression in the past. We celebrate them. We honor them. We worship them. We think well of them. We put them up as an identity model, something that we want to follow. Anybody who has done attacks in the past become a possible subject for identity, identification, worshiping. When a person thinks well of somebody who has done aggressive acts such as shooting somebody or some form of that, that needs to be taken very seriously. Here's number six. It's called personal deterioration. You know, when you have identified somebody that is a potential threat to somebody else, and then they experience a breakdown, maybe a breakup with a girlfriend, maybe a breakup with a boyfriend, maybe a breakup with a parent, maybe a loss of a job, maybe being fired, maybe being criticized, maybe being scolded, maybe being laughed at by somebody. Personal deterioration, breakdowns in one's routine, breakdowns in one's resilience can add to the possibility of a mass shooting or even a suicide type of shooting, if you will. You always want to pay attention to somebody who is at risk and then experiences some type of personal deterioration, some personal hurt, some personal letdown, some personal failure, some personal rejection. Here's number seven, a triggering event. Pun, if you will, but a triggering event. It's a major failing that one might experience, and then that leads to one targeting somebody in the act of shooting. Kind of the idea of a triggering event of having a job taken from you, or given to somebody else, or a promotion given to somebody else when you thought it should come to you. Those are kind of the triggering events, things that set you back, that are disappointing, that are hurtful, that are senses of failure, if you will, or you perceive it as failure, and that can set off an act of violence. And here's number eight, attack preparation. Acquiring a gun, going to buy a gun, that should be noticed, that should be followed. Practicing in a shooting range, that should be noted and should be followed. It should be taken seriously. Person practicing in their own home, kind of a pretend shooting, if you will, by their hands or some object that they portray as a gun and practice shooting. If that becomes an exception, if that becomes a frequent kind of behavior, look out, watch out. So you see, there are warning signs that can be identified. Now, all of these may not work in a particular situation. They may not all be relevant in a particular situation, but they are often present in a person's life prior to taking a violent act against somebody else, such as shooting. It could be a stabbing. It could be a fight. You know, it could be some kind of violent behavior in some form. Shooting just one, you know, of those. It's time to act. It's time to intervene. It's time to call a specialist. It's time to confront. It's time to restrict. It's time to hospitalize. It's time to refer to the police. It's a time for a 911 call. It's time for somebody to sit down and start dealing with the person in a therapy program, perhaps. A referral to a therapist. action needs to be taken when you see these kinds of signs being manifest in a person's life. One, two, three, four of them, or whatever. Doesn't have to have them all. But if you see these signs, then be careful. Do something. Take action. Whether you're a parent, whether you're a teacher, whether you're an employer, whether you're a manager, whether you're a supervisor, whether you're a friend, whether you're a colleague, whether you're a neighbor, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a youth leader, you know, doesn't matter who you are. But when you notice these signs, it's time for you to take action. And if you don't take action, bad things can happen. What are the eight? Let's remember them, okay? Entrenched grievances, threatening messages, patterns of aggression, stalking behavior, emulation, personal deterioration, setbacks, triggering events of some kind, and attack preparation to go into action, if you will. Now, those are the signs that you need to be aware of. They're not all the signs. And maybe they'll work sometimes, maybe they won't work sometimes. Maybe they'll be present sometimes, maybe they won't be present sometimes. But at least it's a starting point. It's a place to start looking. It's a place to start focusing your attention as a teacher, as a principal, as a school counselor, as a therapist, as a counselor, as a parent, as a boss, as a supervisor, as a manager. Look for these kind of signs among the people that concern you. And maybe you'll take a troubled individual and put him into a position to get help rather than in a position to hurt other people. So there you are. I trust that you will take a look at these kinds of behavior patterns in other people. Keep an eye for them. Watch for them. That's where you need to be vigilant. On the street, in stores, you know, in schools, companies, and where you work. I mean, wherever it is, doesn't matter. These kind of signs need to be honored and respected and followed and action taken when you see them. Anyway, thanks for joining me today, and glad you're with me. I mean, it's a tough topic, but we need to do something about this area of mass shootings, particularly in schools. But it also happens in post offices and often happens in office buildings and various kinds of work settings. No matter where it is, it's all the same, and it hurts the same, and it has the same devastating effects upon others. So hope this will be helpful to you, and here's a little book that might be helpful to you if you want to do some devotional type reading, motivational reading. Lessons from My Father. Lessons from My Father. You'll learn some real lessons on living life better. Get it on Barnes & Noble, get it on Amazon, and you get it from my website, www.booksbyhedberg.com. Okay, bye for now.